Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show, the program Today's Issues, here on this Thursday, March the 28th, 2024. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio on what Christians around the world refer to as Holy Week. Good Friday is tomorrow, and then Sunday is Easter. So Easter celebrations will be taking place for Christians around the world. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And we're in Tupelo, and in Kansas City is Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing good. Ray, we're going to be tomorrow. We normally have Trivia Friday, but because it's a Good Friday, we wanted to be more serious, and so we're going to offer a couple of programs during the during this show, because our offices are closed tomorrow, from 10:05 to 11:30, and one of them is going to be your half-hour special about Easter. Give us a preview of that.
Well, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time, right here on AFR, I'll be giving a message called Easter and the Secular Mind. What happens when men who don't know God and don't read the Bible come up against the truth of Jesus and the empty tomb? Well, there's a story, Tim, in the book of Acts about a man by the name of Festus. Now, our older listeners will think one thing, but this is not that Festus. This is the Festus from the book of Acts. And he was a Roman governor. He was completely perplexed what to do with the truth that Jesus had risen from the dead. And at the end of the message tomorrow, we're going to talk about Chuck Colson's conversion from being this hard-bitten politician in the Nixon White House to becoming an out-and-out follower of Jesus Christ. So that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time, Easter and the Secular Mind. Don't miss it.
Amen, brother. We were looking forward to that. That's tomorrow. So the first hour from 10:05 to 11 o'clock tomorrow, Brent, can you step to the mic? Brent Creeley, our producer, what are we going to be doing?
We will have a special that is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland from Exploring the Word.
Okay.
They'll be doing an Easter special.
Okay.
For an hour.
Okay. So that's tomorrow during this show. We love doing Trivia Friday and Learning University, but Good Friday, we just thought it's more appropriate to air these more biblically serious type programs. Yes, Wes.
And it's also a good opportunity this weekend to invite someone to church. Mm-hmm. Holidays like Easter and Christmas and others are really, really good opportunity to invite your neighbor, somebody who wouldn't otherwise probably go, but they, for whatever reason, feel more obligated to go during Easter time. And that could be an opportunity that they have a life-changing experience.
Amen. I would even, I mean, some people may disagree with me. I would use guilt on that one. Okay. But here's what you do. You say, hey, I want to invite you to our, if you know that they don't go to church somewhere else, if they go to church somewhere else, you're obviously not going to invite them to your church. But if they're a nominal religious person, so to speak, or they don't go anywhere, you invite them to church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, after all, it is Easter. You know what I'm saying?
After all,
that's the phrase you use. After all, it is Easter.
Haven't seen you since Christmas.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a good one,
exactly.
Chris. Right, Ray?
That's right. That's right.
You were a pastor for many years. You saw the Christmas Easter Christians.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, to the point, Wesley, that you made, that they tell us that there are more visitors between Christmas Eve, say, and Good Friday, Easter. And maybe Christmas Eve gets the most, but right after it is Good Friday and Easter. A lot of people who don't go to church, it's a little scary. I understand it's scary to go to a church if you haven't been there, but there are a lot of people with some background who maybe they drifted away from church years ago, but you invite them to a Good Friday service or invite them to Easter Sunday.
Right.
You'll be surprised how many people will be glad to take you up on that invitation.
Amen.
And then you greet them, maybe even take them out to lunch, something like that. And then you say something like, I hope we'll see you before Christmas.
That's it. You know both saying? Of those.
This is just little things like that you can drop that would be an encouragement to them to come back again.
This would be a good stand article on AFA Stand.
How
to guilt.
Right. How to use neighbors. Guilt to get people to go to church.
How to guilt neighbors into church.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a believer in that. All right. So anyway, yes, in all seriousness, good time to invite people to share. And people are more sensitive and open. It is Easter. And anybody who has any Christian background at all, they usually reverence Easter. Mm-hmm. And they celebrate, you know, in their own way. Easter, but it is the time to communicate the central message of the gospel of Christ, and that is that Jesus came to die for our sins so that we could have forgiveness and be right with God and have eternal life. Amen?
Amen. I won't go too far into the apologetic side. I know that some of that will be covered with Brother Bert and Alex and their segment.
And Alex will be on today, too.
Good, good, good. But just a quick reminder, and we'll get to the news here, but there were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection at a minimum 500, okay? So we think about, there's plenty of things that we have not seen ourselves, but yet we believe it to be true because there were so many people that saw what happened. And that's the same case with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was at least 500 people that visibly experienced his resurrection.
Is he right about that, Ray?
100% right. In fact, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and exactly what Wesley said. That he appeared on Easter Sunday to Peter, to the other apostles, then to Thomas, and then he was seen by many, and it says even by 500 people. So I would say, we should ask Alex about this later, but I would say the resurrection is maybe the best attested fact. Mm-hmm. Of ancient history. Jesus really did rise from the dead. Check it out, folks. Read the story. Right. It's all right there.
Amen. Yeah, we will talk about that. I got some questions, too, to ask Alex. Bring up. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll explore some questions that you may have, or maybe people who are skeptical of the Bible may have about Easter, and we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. Listen, the biggest news this week, there's been some big news stories this week, but I think number one is the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge there, a major thoroughfare for both shipping and for trucking and transport on the Eastern Seaboard. There was the police audio. Mm-hmm. Has been released of what happened that night, right, Chris?
Right, yeah. This audio that we're about to play was posted by a journalist whose name is Ed Krasenstein. He posted the police scanner on his social media pages. It's about 90 seconds worth of audio. You'll hear the beginning of the situation when they were trying to clear the bridge of traffic because the ship was having trouble. And during the audio, you're going to hear someone say the bridge just collapsed. Clip 10.
There's a ship approaching. It's just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
Yep, we're all on en route to the south side.
This is west direction.
I'm holding traffic now. I was driving, but we stopped prior to the bridge, so I'll have all out-of-loop traffic stopped.
10-4, is there a crew working on the bridge right now?
10-9-1, but you know.
Good.
Want me to stop traffic on this site right now?
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. I'm not sure where. If there's a crew up there, you might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge. I have all interloop traffic stopped at this time. Once you get here, I'll go grab the workers on the Key Bridge and then stop the outer loop.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Simple dispatch is direct. That's correct. This time.
Do we know if all traffic was stopped?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down. We're going to have to get somebody on the other side of Anne Arundel County MSP to get up here and stop traffic coming northbound on the T Bridge.
Wow. Ooh, that was what happened that night. Wasn't that in the middle of the morning? Was it like 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. Thankfully, it was at 1 in the morning. I know that sounds awful, but it would have been much worse if it was 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Do we know have they confirmed how many people passed away?
Yes. The standing number is at least six presumed dead. Those were people that were on the bridge at the time of the collapse.
That was like he was talking. You heard one police officer. Mm-hmm. I guess it was a police officer, at least a 911 type person, say there are crew on the bridge. Mm-hmm. And Ray, what was happening is they were working like many highway or crews do, or bridge repair, whatever. They were working in the middle of the night as to avoid the midday traffic.
You know, it's clear from listening to that at the beginning, they don't realize how close that the boat, the barge, the tanker, how close it was to the bridge. But did you hear in the voice of the man who cut in and said, the bridge is down, the whole bridge is down? Hey, kudos to the first responders, the police and fire and all of them, because they did a good job in exceptionally difficult circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah, for all those that have seen the video footage and seen the destruction that happened with the bridge collapsing and the tanker boat running into all the destruction, the fact that it was minimized quickly by the first responders to shut down the other ends of the bridges was, like you said, kudos to them.
But I'm looking at the video now of it that most people have seen, but they're talking what months? How long are they talking this will be closed?
Well, yesterday people were using different terms, weeks and months. One guy even said years. That was one
years,
shipping consultant.
But I'm thinking months. It'll be close because they got to.
They got to build another bridge, basically.
Well, they got to build another. They've got to repair. Okay, so the bridge is collapsed. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're going to have to build another bridge, and they're going to have to also clean up this.
First, they'll have to clean
the debris, for lack of a better word.
I do think though that one of the good things we can look forward to in the near future is that I would think, and no engineer here, and I'm not familiar we haven't covered much stuff like this before, but you would think that they would make a path for ships to continue on one end while they begin to.
I read about that. They're going to have to. They would have to dredge, what they call dredge.
Oh,
you know,
make
it deep enough for ships to get through there, because these are big, massive ships.
Right.
Ray.
So this. It's going to be shut down for quite a while, because when you look at it, the bridge didn't just fall, but the supporting columns fell as well.
Right.
So they're basically back at ground zero. I mean, job one is they got to clean the debris out of the channel, all the stuff that's down there, and somehow begin to rebuild. No, I think months for sure, maybe a year or two.
Maybe so. They were also talking about how much commerce comes through there. How many billions of dollars this is going to cost in terms of, plans that have to be made now because that port is closed.
Right.
Baltimore port. Anyway, that's the big news story that's happened this week. Next story, Chris.
Both presidential candidates, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, are going to be in New York City, albeit at different events. And I say that because former President Trump plans to attend the wake of a slain New York City police officer who was gunned down during a traffic stop. Biden is reportedly planning on going to a fundraising event that will feature former presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And I have shared links to that on our Facebook page. It looks bad optics for Biden not to be a part of this, especially when your party is being hammered on a daily basis for not doing more for police.
Yeah. For those who haven't heard, there was a police officer in New York in broad daylight, shot and killed. Was it in Queens?
In the Queens area, yes, sir.
So it was a traffic stop, and this guy inside the car opened fire. unprovoked, opened fire on the police officer. The police officer was shot underneath his vest, bulletproof vest. So the bullet went into the stomach, and it killed him. And it's a big story in New York. Some of the national media are carrying it. A slain police officer. Well, as it turns out, this guy who did the alleged killing, well, the killing, the criminal, he had a rap sheet of like 21 criminal offenses against him.
Nine felonies. And those aren't by accident. You don't just show up and find a way to get a felony. You don't trip up and get a felony. Nine.
So I guess I was stunned, Ray, at, I don't know why I should be. This happens over and over and over again where you learn the violent criminal had a rap sheet as long as, you know, a foot long, 2 feet long, 3 feet, whatever. But I guess the part of it for me, Ray, is I read about this happening in, especially in big city America, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, which is about gone because of this very thing, violent crime being out of control, New York City. And you just wonder, Ray, you just go, it almost seems like these cities have a death wish because they elect the people who let these criminals run free.
Well, how many felonies, Wesley, did you say?
Nine felonies.
Okay, how is it possible?
Yes. Right.
How is it possible in any civilized country
that
a man with nine felonies? I mean, you made a good point. This isn't jaywalking.
Right.
Right. This isn't something.
Right.
Pretty. Nine felonies on your record, you ought to be in jail somewhere. It's an indictment of the left wing New York justice system that allows a man like this to be out on the street, and now there's a police officer dead because of it. It's awful. Let me just add one thing about that officer. I in reading the story, he was shot. You know, they wear the bulletproof vest, but he was shot in a way that the bullet came under the vest. But I read that after he was hit and before he completely collapsed, he went ahead and went after the man who shot him to keep him from shooting anybody else. And then later, critical condition, died in the hospital. He's a true hero.
He looked to me like he was in his maybe mid-30s, and he had a baby.
One-year-old.
Yeah. A one-year-old.
I have something to add to that. The guy who owns Barstool Sports, his name is Dave Portnoy. I just shared this link. He's got a lot of money from his business ventures, including Barstool Sports. But Dave Portnoy has managed to raise $1.5 million for the family of the slain cop, who, by the way, his name is Jonathan Diller.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But I don't understand why the people in these cities keep voting for Democrats. The Democrats keep letting the liberal Democrats, and they keep letting the criminals out, run free. And it's like, why do you do this to yourself? Why do you not want safe communities? Do you not care about your own community, your own people? Because I'm saying now, because you have an individual and they vote, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. They vote for people who don't punish criminals. So, and then those criminals go out and terrorize your town and community, kill cops. And you voted for the people who don't want to punish them. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I call a death wish.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. Go ahead.
And if anybody is calling for gun right, gun control here, just keep in mind a felony cannot own or maintain a felon cannot own a firearm. So he's already carrying a firearm illegally.
That's true.
So many things here.
So your point about when they're going to scream about gun control.
Yeah. Well, they probably wouldn't do that because of an officer, but.
Well, that's true. But the felons don't obey gun control laws anyway, so it's only going to be the law-abiding citizens who are going to have to put their guns away if the left has their way.
So right here in this situation, you have you're in one of the most difficult places to even get a firearm legally, okay? Then you've got a felon.
Oh, in New York City.
New York City. Then you got a felon who's not supposed to own one in any state, even one of the more conservative states, and he's got one.
Let me ask you this. I'm just curious. Okay, you obviously are Kerry.
Sure, Second Amendment.
Second Amendment. But if you were to go to New York City, and you're a citizen of the state of Mississippi.
Sure.
But you go to New York City, I should know this, and I think I know the answer to this. But it would be lawful for you to carry your gun?
So in most cases, there is a certain number of states that recognizes each other's Second Amendment.
Okay.
To carry.
Right.
And I don't believe New York is one of them. Okay. That would recognize.
So you could get in trouble. You could go to New York and they
they're gonna say yours is a Mississippi
license
to carry here. Didn't apply here. Yeah,
you're in trouble.
You would have to go through their process in New York to get one, which is almost impossible.
So you're probably gonna have to go to another red state.
Right. Yes. Right. But now, a beautiful thing about the Second Amendment and the states that recognize it wholeheartedly the way it was originally intended is that they've gotten together, and I'm using layman's terms here, they've gotten together and said, we recognize yours may be a little looser than ours may be a little more stricter, but if yours comes over here, we're fine.
Okay, so when we go on family vacation, we go through Mississippi, Alabama, and down to Florida.
We're good to go.
Down to Florida.
Florida recognizes Mississippi. Mississippi recognizes Florida.
Okay, that's Alabama, how that works in Alabama. So they all work together. Mm-hmm. But probably you go to a liberal state, they're going to say, you can't bring your gun here.
Most cases. I know that's the case for certain in Washington, D.C.
Yep. You can't bring your gun here, but you can't carry it.
That's right. You can't leave your vehicle.
Is that what they say?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
New York once tried a law that would not allow you to take your gun off your property. You couldn't take gun to a firing range.
That's right.
You only could
use that?
New York tried that several years ago. It went to court and they got shot down. No pun intended.
No pun intended. But back to the point here, you have a location in which is very difficult, almost I would say unconstitutionally difficult to get a firearm, and a felon in best case should own one anyways, and they've got one.
This man who killed this police officer, and this police officer is in his 30s, had a 1-year-old child, he's dead. He's dead because this criminal had 21 felons.
21 arrests and then 9 felons. Excuse me.
21 arrests, 9 felony convictions, and he's out roaming the street.
Yeah.
And the people in New York don't give a rip.
Mm-mm.
I don't mean to sound flippant.
They don't care.
The voters of New York support this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. They not to say that they don't care about the death of the officer.
Yeah, I didn't mean to apply that. They do.
But they don't care.
They don't care enough about it to do something to stop it.
That's right.
Yep. By voting in law and order
right
candidates.
When bad things happen, when criminals use guns for horrible purposes, liberals will come out there and say, how many more of these things have to happen before you people come around right on the issue?
I just don't.
Yes.
But we never. So
are the gun control people going
to
come out today and say, you know, this felon.
Right.
We got to have gun control for felons.
Exactly right.
We shouldn't have. Huh? They're going to come out today.
You know,
you won't hear from them.
You know, I'm laughing about that. But, you know, you're right. I have not heard them say that because that already applies.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's already a law in place. They're just violating the law.
Also, when a police officer has to shoot somebody, the left wingers don't go, you know, gun violence.
That's right.
Gun violence. We got to stop gun violence. They go, the police officer is responsible for his actions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, well, is in the same way as the criminal who uses a gun to kill somebody, are they responsible for their own actions? No, it's the gun.
Yeah.
It's that's the double talk.
Entire time I've worked here.
Dr. Alex McFarland will be coming up with us after the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You've heard about squatting in houses going on in places like New York? Well, the governor of Florida just shut that down in his whole state. We'll talk about that when we get back.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on American Family Radio. If you want to listen to this show and you miss the show or any show here on American Family Radio and you say, well, I'd like to listen to that, we have podcasts. It's very easy to do. You just go to our website, afr.net, click on the word podcast. It's right up there at the top. And then you'll see the banners for all the shows. You click on the banner and boom, there are the shows. So it's easy to listen to any of the shows here on American Family Radio via our podcasting. So afr.net, click on podcast, find the show, and listen if you miss one of the episodes of any of the programs here on AFR. Another thing is we're down to, I think, 20 seats left for our June Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to see all the sites in our nation's capital. We call it a spiritual heritage tour, including the Capitol and the Supreme Court and the Library of Congress and the National Archives and the Lincoln Jefferson Memorials and the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial. We're also going to go to the Arlington National Cemetery and see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And then on Saturday, we're going to Mount Vernon to explore and see the Mount Vernon estate. And Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be joining me all along the way. He is a historian, and he knows as much about early American history and our founding fathers and our Christian heritage than anybody I know. He and David Barton, right there at the top, they're close friends. So what I'm saying is that June trip is 20 seats left. So if you want to go, we also go in September, you can go in September. For all the information, the cost, the itinerary, everything you need to know, go to this website, spiritualheritagetours.com with an S. spiritualheritagetours.com with an S. That's coming up in June and September. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Alex McFarland joins our conversation right now, co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon here on AFR from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
How are things in North Carolina today?
Rainy.
Really?
Very, very rainy, yes.
Huh. I didn't think there was any rain. I'm not doubting you. I'm just...
You're surprised.
I'm a little bit surprised, yeah. Yeah. But, all right, so listen, before we get to, when we have Alex on, we may talk about anything.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we're going to talk about this squatting story for just a minute, get Alex's comments. Okay, so there's this phenomenon, I call it a phenomenon because it's you've been hearing about it more, going on across some states, Chris.
Correct.
Squatting. Mm-hmm. Where people go into people's houses who aren't there and start living there, and then somehow the laws of that state make them able to stay there. It's bizarre sounding.
It sounds very bizarre.
I call that breaking and entering.
Stealing.
Yeah. Theft.
Okay. Theft. But, there's a lot of other words. Squatting was not the first one.
We're going to get to what happened in Florida. You familiar with this, Alex?
Yes, it's a terrible thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a good synopsis right there. So you were spot on.
It's a terrible thing.
Quote, it's a terrible thing.
We agree.
All right, so
yes.
Alex.
Let me be on record as having said that.
All right. So profound. Okay, Alex. So just glad we had you on. We'll see you later, Alex. Thanks for that.
Thank you. My work here is done.
You'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so Set up the rest of this.
Yeah, the reason we are talking about this, America, is because yesterday Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill into law that eliminates squatters' rights in Florida. He said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do what New York and other places have been in the news for. If a property owner has someone on their property who is not paying them or doesn't have a lease with them to be on that property owner is going to be able to file a complaint with law enforcement. That law enforcement officer is going to be able to go on that property and remove that squatter from that property because property rights are property rights. I gave away a lot there, but don't take my word for it. Clip 7.
What New York does, what California does, Florida will do the opposite. And so the squatter scam ends today with our legislation. Now in Florida, you call up, you fill out a form, sheriff comes, and the sheriff kicks them out of your property. If we don't have private property rights, we will not have a free society. So it is the bedrock. Florida stands by that. We're proud to do it. It's like yet another reason why people are going to choose to flee from the New Yorks and the California and end up coming down here to the Sunshine State.
Is it?
That's Governor Ron DeSantis. Do you think, Alex, do you think he was clear?
Yes, I think so.
I think he was clear. And, go ahead.
You know, let me say this. The eighth commandment is thou shalt not steal. So squatters are stealing, you know? I mean, they're taking something that is not theirs, somebody else's house or, you know, building, and they're just setting up shop in it. And, you know, I know there are people that are, you know, kind of like bleeding heart liberals that say, oh, we should show compassion or something. Well, you know, fundamentally,
let them come to your house.
Exactly.
We'll be glad to send them over to your house.
Isn't it funny that the open borders, lawless, chaotic advocates, they live in gated communities. They lock their doors.
With private security.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Ray, have you heard, you've heard about this squatting going on, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, sure. And it's amazing to me. It's how in a free society is it okay for people to come into your house when you're gone,
right?
Squat down, live there. How
do they have rights?
How do they have rights? How do squatters have any rights whatsoever? How come, Tim, explain this to me, what Ron DeSantis did, we're talking like it's unusual. How
right.
come this isn't the law in 50 states?
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Chris, any more about this? Is this go on more in like these blue states?
Yeah, well, in New York, for example, DeSantis mentioned New York. You can be on a property for as little as like 30 days and be determined to be a squatter, and therefore they can't remove you.
So, for example, somebody has a house and they leave. They have to go out of the country. They have to go out of town. They're gone. They're gone. They lock their house. They tell the post office, hold our mail. They tell their neighbors, we're going to be gone. Would you watch our house? So let me finish.
Yeah, sure.
So that happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So then, or they have a rental property. Somebody owns a rental property. They have a rental property that's vacated. Nobody mm-hmm. lives there. But these people go in off the street, or maybe not off the street, and start living there. In the rental property,
right.
or in the home that the person's gone out of town or out of the country, and they get home, and somehow the people who've set up shop, set up living inside their house, have some kind of rights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. That's what liberal states have determined. This has been a problem in states like Florida, Arizona, New York, I think Illinois. We've covered most of them on AFN.net. And the thing is, for a reaction to this DeSantis story, I called Jenna Ellis yesterday because, one, she's an attorney, and two, she lives in Florida, and she told me this doesn't even have to be a partisan issue. Like, everybody should realize
right.
that we all have property rights. I can play that clip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, clip 9.
Every single other red state governor should follow suit, and it actually shouldn't even matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Property rights are something that we understand that are protected in our Bill of Rights to be secure in our person's property or effects. Property can mean chattel or physical property, but it can also mean real property under the Fourth Amendment. So this is a good thing, and this should be the example that everyone should follow.
Yeah, there was a story back during the COVID, shortly after COVID, where
COVID. What are you talking about?
COVID.
What is that?
Don't get me started. Okay. I got a lot of thoughts on that.
What is this COVID you speak of?
The COVID.
There goes COVID YouTube.
You there, yeah. I didn't say ivermectin.
No, you didn't.
There goes
Till
YouTube.
Now. Up, sorry. So there was a story in New York where it was after COVID. There was people couldn't afford. A lot of people couldn't afford the rental or to lease property. So there was a squatter that squatted, and because the property owner could not get someone to lease it for the cost that they were having, the person stayed there long enough to squat while they were squatting to then, by New York's law, be able to not become their property. And then they – are you following me here? And then they couldn't lease it because it was not theirs anymore. And then the officers came and they said, we can't do anything about this by the squatting – rights.
I'm just envisioning a third grader going to school and them having a what did your daddy do for a living day? Yeah. And they go, my daddy's a squatter.
He's got four properties now.
Yeah, my daddy, he squats. Really? Okay.
It's just.
Anyway, and he's got four properties. He's subleasing. He's subleasing.
But just the, I get, my mind freezes on stuff like this because I'm going, wait a minute. If they can take my property because I was vacant for a certain period of time, can I then take their property that was my property back by squatting if they're not there for a certain amount of time? Like, you follow me here?
My point is
there's no rules here. This is anarchy. Yeah.
And guys, it's worth saying that, I mean, you don't cease to be the owner of something merely because you've, you know, gone away for 6 months or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy, but these blue states, they allow for this kind of insanity, more insanity.
Well, you know, the timing of all this, too, that Ron DeSantis would do something about this because with the 8 million, the invasion of 8 million illegal aliens across the border in the last 3.5 years, you got to think they're looking for a place to stay. And if they can go to a state where there's squatter rights, that's going to be a problem.
There was a video that went viral the other day of an illegal immigrant, illegal alien. And he was going on YouTube or Instagram giving people a step-by-step instructions on how you can squat.
I'll share the link. Not that you should follow his example.
Am I right?
That you'll
it went
get the
viral.
That's it.
Went
viral.
Yeah. Fox called him a freeloading migrant.
Well, maybe Biden will start showing them that film down on the border when they cross, you know, as a part of the welcome wagon process, you know.
Guys,
go ahead, Alex.
Well, Karl Marx wrote in the Communist Manifesto, quote, "The theory of the communist may be summed up in a single sentence, the abolition of private property," end of quote. Mm. And so for these Democrats that, you know, they want this, you know, de facto transfer of ownership because somebody has squatted, that's unconstitutional. That is incompatible with our representative constitutional republic.
Right.
But let me just say a word to the Christians out there that might be saying, well, come on, Alex, let's show compassion. Look, in the Bible presupposes private property ownership rights. And let me just say this, that when it talks about, like, for instance, in the 10th commandment, this is Exodus 20:17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Notice the phrase in Exodus 20, these things that, quote, belong to your neighbor. And one other thing, let me just say this, like in the Old Testament, in Exodus 21, if a man's livestock got out and injured another person, if your ox goes out and, you know, injures another person, the owner is responsible for that. My point is, God's word presupposes that the property owner has rights. And look, there's ample opportunity for charity and benevolence, and Angie and I, we're all about that. But folks, please don't confuse feigned compassion for the abolition of the legal rights of property owners. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Wes, you had talked about, we were talking about Easter. And you were talking about the witnesses. You want to set that up again, and let Alex comment on.
Yeah, Alex, you want to elaborate on this right before, at the beginning of the hour here. I mentioned that one of the best things about the resurrection of Jesus is that there was at least 500, and we know more, but at least 500 confirmed eyewitnesses of his resurrection.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible, and. With that said, if that's true, there's, for anybody that's skeptical and says, well, you know, we all believe in things that we haven't seen, and one of the reasons we believe in things that we haven't seen with our own eyes is because of eyewitness testimony. And that was one of the things we mentioned right at the top of the hour. What are some other confirmations that we have of Jesus's resurrection?
Wow, great question. And yes, in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, Paul writes about how Jesus was seen by the apostles and seen by the women at the tomb and seen by up to 500 people at once. You know, our friend Lee Strobel, who has a law degree from Yale University, Lee Strobel has said that if all of the witnesses to the resurrected Jesus were given 5 minutes on a witness stand, we would have over 24 hours of eyewitness testimony confirming that Christ arose. And in the ancient world, a court decision could be decided by one eyewitness. Mm. But, you know, a couple of days ago, I interviewed J. Warner Wallace. He was just a renowned Los Angeles cold case homicide detective. He was an atheist well into his adult years. And he became a Christian and has become a passionate defender of Christianity because he says that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are among the most compelling testimonies for something that he's ever investigated. And you might have seen J. Warner Wallace on Dateline with Keith Morrison. He's an expert witness on solving unsolvable crimes, and he became a passionate Christian. Here's my point. We've got, yes, the apostles like Peter, but then we've got, you know, Doubting Thomas and Saul of Tarsus, who became radically changed believers once they saw the risen Jesus. But even this, and I could name scholars, time forbids, you know, Mike Lacona, Gary Habermas, William Lane Craig. You've got Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources hostile to the emerging Christianity that reference Jesus crucified under Pontius Pilate. He claimed to be God. His followers said he rose. They're willing to die for this belief. They get up on Sunday before daylight. They sing hymns to Christ as to God. These are Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources. One Roman historian, Phlegon, and by the way, Roman historians could be executed if they got something incorrect. Phlegon records that the sky became dark for 3 hours. The darkness went from Jerusalem all the way to Rome during Christ's crucifixion. So here's what I'm saying. If you can believe anything about the ancient world, then you should, by the same measure, believe in Jesus who died and rose again, because we have much more confirming testimony. Early eyewitness, multiple testimony, even hostile testimony. What am I saying? Christ is risen. It's compelling. And we have every justification for believing it.
Amen. But it's Easter weekend. You've got Good Friday tomorrow. Our offices here will be closed. We're going to have some an hour and a half of excellent radio specials about Easter. One of them hosted by Alex and Bert from 10:05 to 11 o'clock Central tomorrow. And then Ray's show, his special, will air from 11:05 to the bottom of the hour. Hey, let me ask you real quick, Alex. There is another Easter for, is it Eastern Orthodox Christians or Greek Orthodox or what? We celebrate Easter here, the Catholics and the Protestants in the Western world on, you know, this weekend. But they, mm-hmm. they have another one, don't they?
It's going to be May 5th. And you know, the Eastern Orthodox Church, that they've forever had a different calendar. They go by, you know, what they call the Julian calendar, but you know, we believe the same things, that Jesus is the Son of God who on Calvary's cross shed his blood for the atonement of our sins. But they
would that be like the Russian and the Greek and the
mm-hmm.
other
what they call the Orthodox Church.
Orthodox Church. Know,
They're
real big on incense.
Yes, exactly. And
candles.
Beautiful paintings on the wall.
Yeah. The Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, Ray, is run by the Greek Orthodox.
Perhaps the oldest of all the Christian churches, going back, 1,800 years or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Alex, I want to ask a question to go back to the question of the resurrection. First of all, thank you for a brilliant discussion of the evidence that's there.
You're welcome. I have helped.
It's so well.
No, I don't want to take credit, but
well,
I just
invited the guests.
Well, I invited the guests. I kind and of facilitated it, but I don't want to take anything away from that.
Well, Alex, I want to follow up and ask this, because there have been over the generations, there have been some liberals. I'm not talking about evangelicals, but some people who wish to downplay what you just said, to say, well, it doesn't matter whether Jesus physically rose from the dead or not. Even if some have gone so far as to say, well, if we found his dead body, it wouldn't change anything as long as you know Jesus in your heart. Why is the physical resurrection of Jesus of such central importance to the Christian faith?
Oh, that is a great question. And let me say, I believe that the scripture teaches, history verifies, and I believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead. You know, in Luke 24, I believe it's 24:39, Christ said this. He said, "Touch me, you'll see that a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And of course, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:14 and following, Paul said, "If Christ be not risen, our faith is vain, and we of all men are most miserable, for we have no hope, and we have lied because we said he did rise." So here's the beautiful thing about Christianity, one of the, you know, five dozen unique things, the idea of a resurrection. See, not just a resuscitation, but by the way, Daniel 12 says, everybody's going to get resurrected, some to salvation and everlasting life, some to everlasting condemnation and hell. See, in Jesus, he rose literally in a glorified body, and the believer will get a glorified body as well. Now we don't, if you're saved and you're a believer, we don't turn into God like the New Age says. You know, we don't become God. But the believer will be with God. But Ray, to your point, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ is not risen, physically, literally, tangibly, corporeally risen, we don't have a gospel. But Christ is risen. And if we believe in Jesus, you know, let me just say, no doubt, in an audience listening, there are people right now that have experienced bereavements. There's, you know, death. But here's the thing. There's a great reunion day coming. And let me just encourage people, stand strong for truth. Be encouraged. We have not just hope, but tangible reality. The Lord is coming back. Every promise of God's word is true. And that empty tomb proves that all the hope we've invested in Christ, it is reality. Easter is the no other belief system has an empty tomb and a living Savior. And so Christ is worth everything we can give him, all that we can do for him, because he rose and every believer will too.
I just pass the offering plate, man. That's awesome. It's time to close this sermon. That is an excellent message. Let me ask you this, right? Before we let you go and close out this hour, Alex, what about your summer camps coming up? Are they full? Are you still got room or what?
They're getting full. The website on the camps is equipretreat.org. We'll have about 1,200 middle school and high schoolers, and we're going to talk to them about God and country.
Okay, where are how many states are you going to be in?
We're going to be in 6 states. I'm helping out with some other camps too. But let me say for the grown-ups, I'm going to be at The Cove July 12th through 14th. Go to the website, thecove.org. We're with kids all across America, but we're with adults too. So let's visit together
this
summer.
The Cove, you're going to be speaking. What's at The Cove when?
July 12th through 14th. And I'll be this year, my 18th summer. I'm teaching 1 John, the believer's identity in Christ.
Okay, awesome. And Wesley, you got that pulled up on Alex's website, right?
Yes, you can go to alexmcfarland.com/events, alexmcfarland.com/events.
Okay.
And there you can see where Alex will be traveling to.
All right, thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Praise God.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll be back in 5 minutes, everybody. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.